This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. Bluehost is one of the biggest and best companies for your website or blog. For just $6.95 per month, they offer great service and support, so you can focus on your content instead of worrying about technology. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
Not a boy anymore, Felix. I sure as hell ain't lost.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. As you can hear, Father Roderick couldn't make it on the show today because he's traveling. But with us are Shelley and Lisa instead. As usual, we will start with our first impressions. What did you think, Shelley?
I wasn't sure if I liked it or not. It might have been because, you know, we were coming back from the CNMC and watching it late at night to prepare for today. But I thought it was interesting that these nasty habits, it was a very Rumple-focused. I really liked the reuniting of Neil and his father. And the twist of Pan and the Pied Piper, very good. Opened a really big door of speculation that we'll talk about.
And you, Lisa?
I loved seeing Rumple and Neil. And I loved that Balefire kept saying, "My name is Neil." That was great. I like that. But I liked seeing them interact, that whole angst and their relationship and who do I trust and who do I believe. And then, of course, we learned that Rumple and Peter Pan have a history, which I think that alludes to what the show does well, which is tease us with the background and not let us know exactly what the relationship is. So I like that they built that up and they're going to leave us hanging for a while. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I liked it as well because, like you said, the Pied Piper, I kind of didn't see that coming. Because we had talked about a Pied Piper before, but I think we thought maybe Rumple could be the Pied Piper or something like that. I don't really remember which character we made into the Pied Piper, but this is just perfect. Also with Pan being the Pied Piper, because they have both the Pan flute. And, of course, Pan is also a little bit of a hint to the god Pan. So I liked how they weave that together.
And that's how he got the Lost Boys, which fit into it perfectly.
Yes. And also, it helped a little bit to understand the timeline, how Balefire got where. So at one point, we know he dropped to a portal to England. But so we never quite knew what happened after. He got carried away by the shadow. So, and how he got back, and how to Earth, and how he made it to New York. So that was a kind of weird for us. But now we know that he was about to go to Neverland with Pan, with a Pied Piper, but got kind of swished away by Rumple. And then, so I kind of think when we see that he is dashing out of the door because Rumple doesn't understand him, that's when he calls a blue fairy. So that's kind of how it for me makes sense. So yeah,
that
so
it all happens before Rumple puts him in the portal.
Yeah, that's because he's unhappy with Rumple's magic, but for me it was never enough to be that drastic to want to go away. So there's something really bad needed
something
to happen.
Else.
Yeah, but we also know that it's not complete the history of Rumple with Pan because we also know the little doll he got that Rumple knows Pan from when he was a child.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, and we haven't seen that yet.
No, Lisa and I were talking this morning, and she had a really good theory because. The line that he uses, first he says, "It's been a long time, laddie." And then he says, "Look who's all grown up and become the Dark One." But later in that same conversation, he hasn't created the Lost Boys yet. And it implies that wherever he is in Neverland, he's alone. He is completely isolated. And that's why he's playing the Pied Piper role is to attract boys to take back and to be with him, people who can stay with him in Neverland.
Yeah, to create a family.
And my question was, my guess, my theory, is maybe they're brothers. And that we know that after the father was a coward, right? And I can't remember if he left or died or exactly what happened to him, but he's gone. He abandoned them. So he left. He's gone. So it almost makes me wonder if Peter Pan was the older brother and was supposed to, Rumple made a reference to, I trusted him once, you know, and he let me down and tricked me or deserted me or something. And there was a lot of references to abandoning in this episode, being alone. And so my thought was that maybe they're brothers and something happened between them and that he, you know, did something to Rumple to then desert him also. And they got split up because, again, that little doll kept coming back into play. He was looking at it and thinking about it. And it's almost like there has to be a connection, a familial connection between them to have this kind of, you know, the feelings and the power that they have back and forth.
Well, so. And Rumple alluded to it when he was talking with Bay, and he asked, well, who is he? And he says, Peter Pan. I've known him since I was a boy growing up. We were incredibly close. Mm-hmm. I think it was Bay said, he's immortal too, like a question mark. He says, well, he wasn't always. He went to a place called Neverland. He betrayed me. He can't be trusted. What he didn't say that I almost said is, I thought of was, he abandoned me. Because Pan is always taunting Rumple. You abandoned Bay. You're nothing more. With all your power, you're nothing more than an unloved, lonely, lost boy. Oh, that's what I'll call my new group of friends. But Rumple also tells Bay that Pan fooled him for a long time before he saw his true nature. And he tells him that Pan's true nature is darker and more repulsive that you should be exposed to. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, hello, pot meet kettle. Pot calling the kettle black.
And then you're thinking, how bad is he?
And we have to remember Rumple's motivation for becoming the dark one was always to protect Bay, to not be abandoned by him, to not have him taken away. And that tied in too with where he said most parents, you know, their greatest fear is that the boy will leave them or that the boy will be taken from them, but not you. You are afraid that he'll leave you. He will abandon you. Everything is about abandonment.
Tell me, son, what would make you happy?
Leaving this place. I'm tired of staying in this hovel all the time.
Well, that's easy to fix. How about a castle, huh? I could build you a palace so magnificent, its shadow would blanket the countryside.
That's not what I mean. I want to go out, have friends, see the world beyond these four walls. Papa, why can't you just trust me to do that?
I do trust you, Ben. It's others that I can't. You see, I have many enemies beyond that door. And once you leave, any one of them could hurt you.
You sure that's the only reason? Maybe what you're really worried about is if I leave, I might never come back.
What I like is because what you can see clearly in this episode is Rumple wants to protect his son. And that what like you said, he just becomes the dark one because of that. And so the question is, did Rumple really become the dark one to protect Bay? Or is something else at play?
I think originally he became the dark one so he could protect Bay from going, from losing Bay, from Bay dying, especially he's already lost Mila because of his cowardice. And he did that so that Bay wouldn't have to go fight the ogre wars. And then he became powerful and he liked that feeling. We've talked about it being like an addiction magic, a drug, the power that you feel. You feel like you're in control, you're manipulating. And so when he tells Bay, I'm worried about your safety, and this is what's best, I don't know what I'd ever do if I lost you. And my first thought was, well, you'd manipulate people until you find a way to be reunited at great expense to a great many people. How many people died in the, 100, 200 years between Bay jumping through the portal, 100 say, jumping through the portal and landing in Victorian England, and him finding, we've got Cora. The manipulation of Cora, she didn't work out. We've got the manipulation of Regina, the Dr. Whale character, every single thing that Rumpel did ever since he met with the seer, or ever since he lost Bay, was specifically to get Regina to enact the curse to bring him to a land without magic so he could find his son. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do if I lost you. Well, no, you really don't. But he didn't show that trust to his son. I mean, if you think about, too, the age, Bay is, 14 years old? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's at that age where we've got to start letting go of our children. I mean, my daughter is 14, and I see it. You know, how much freedom, how much independence, how far do I let her go on a leash or off a leash so that she can both learn how to be independent and strong and make good choices? And how much do I see all the dangers out there in real life and want to bring her back in and keep her sheltered and protected? I can't lock up my daughter any more than Rumpel can lock up Bay. She wants to get out. She wants to develop her own life.
But I think it's more than that for Rumpel, because I don't think it's just about exposing Bay to the danger. I think he uses that as an example. He's driven just from that fear of being alone and being abandoned and being by himself once more, you know, in his life. And so it's not just about protecting him. It's about protecting himself and not, I mean, you know, they talk about the nasty habits and the self-preservation. I mean, self-preservation, I loved how they kept coming back to that. I mean, and that's kind of what it is, that he believes that he needs a son with him. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
He can't be alone.
Yeah.
He hates being alone.
Yeah, in that respect, it's also interesting what he tells Belle. So Belle appears, and he explains her he's willing to die to save Henry because he has nothing to live for. And she says, "But I'm here. Can't you have a happy ending?" And then he says, "Neil was his happy ending, and because Neil's gone, the only thing he can do to redeem himself is to save Henry." So I was wondering, so why can't he be happy with Belle?
Well, yeah, he's so close to redemption. Too. So close, and he just can't do it. He says he's going to you know, give himself up because Neil's gone and he has to save Neil's son. I mean, that was, you know, here. He kept saying that, but ooh, how quickly, you know, you revert when that isn't the case. When Neil suddenly comes back.
It was like the magic thing. I have to say this. I really enjoy using the character of Belle the way they are, so that we can see the inner dialogue that Rumpel is having with himself. Instead of, you know, in plays, in Shakespeare, it would be a soliloquy. You know, Hamlet standing there looking at the skull. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. But Rumpel's not going to, you know, there's no other really good way. So they have this imagination of Belle having the conversation, so we know what he's thinking and what he's going through internally. So she says, "You're hiding behind a mask." So he must have been thinking, I'm putting this black face paint on. I need the mask. I need the monster. Because we talked about he's got the magic and he is the Dark One, but he's not truly physically transformed. So he's still vulnerable. He's still visible to others. And this is the only way to save Henry. And when she says, "What about me? I'm back in Storybrooke. I'm real." He says, "Well, you think you see a good man, but in time you're going to see the monster." And that ties in parallel with the Pan, the reference he told Bay about Pan, you know, being darker. And so there's that tie in there. And when he says, "My son is dead, the only way I can redeem myself is to sacrifice myself to save his son, to give up my life." And then, of course, like you said, He tells Neil, "But you're my happy ending. It's because it's my redemption. And I can be strong if you have faith in me, if you believe in me." But we already know Bay doesn't believe in his father because he did abandon him. He tried to save him, and it was Rumpel that was coward and didn't jump through the portal to the land without magic. "I used to dream when I was in Neverland as a lost boy that you would come and rescue me from this place. And then I wake up and remember you left me behind."
Yeah. So it's also interesting when he meets Neil, that he also repeats that he wants to save Henry and to die for him. But when he discovers that Neil is not a phantom of his imagination, but a real, you see him revert back. And also his dismissal of Belle. At one point he says to Belle, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Is that about a bad omen?
No, I think she's bringing too much truth and he doesn't want to face it. He knows, you know, the inner voice in his, I mean, she's basically the little voice in his head and he don't want to deal with it. He just wants to do what he wants to do. Let's just go. But I love the reuniting of Neil and Rumpel. That was great.
Yeah, I love that too.
I wondered if telling Belle to go away was when we tell ourselves not to think about something. Don't overthink it or I'm not going to think about that. I'll think about it another day. And he's really struggling with this, and she's just reminding him. And he knows what the right thing to do is.
Right, and he don't want to.
Can the habit be broken?
You're not real. You're dead.
What? Of course I'm real. What the hell's going on?
You're a vision, just like Bob.
No, hey, listen to me. It's me. I was shot, okay? But I survived. See? I'm alive.
My son is dead! You just here to remind me of my failure.
That's not why I'm here.
My weakness.
Put the spear down.
You are here to question my resolve, but you won't succeed. I will sacrifice my life for Henry, and nothing will stand in my way.
Please, Papa.
That scene where Neil bursts through and Rumpel's got the vision, thinks he's just another vision, another Belle, and he puts that poison-tipped spear right to his neck, and Neil, great actor, he totally looked like, oh my God, oh no. I mean, he wasn't looking at his dad. He's looking at the spear. He's like, ugh.
I just loved it. He says, you were shot. And he goes, yes, I was, but I'm better. I'm good.
Aren't you happy, you know?
Right. I love it. You saw me die. I didn't. I mean, you saw me shot and fall through a portal. That doesn't mean I died, you know? I mean,
well, he didn't. Like, well, Rumpel didn't see that. He was told by Charming, I think.
Or, yeah, one of them. Not to jump forward too much, but did you not love that they let Emma have her emotion about Neil? Because we haven't had that yet. And
finally
let her admit it, that she was mad at him for finding, I mean, she thought he didn't love her. And then now she finds out he did and he left her and she's mad, you know, about it. And that she still has feelings for him. And then she's angry that he's gone and can't, you know, I mean, all of that turmoil inside of her. And she's one of those people who's very closed off and holds it in. And so they let her have her moment and just express it. And I was very appreciative for that because we don't get a lot of Emma having, she's never cognizant of her own emotions.
I don't know that we get a lot of anybody moving through the stages of grief. And anger is a very important stage of grief. Inga, I think, has a background in that. Don't you, Inga, psychiatry?
I have a major in psychology, yeah.
That's so, I'm muted.
Yeah, well, there's also people think, you don't need to go through all the stages of grief. So, yeah, I don't know. But back to the story, I really love that Emma had this turmoil because it's kind of a mirror of the turmoil Rumpel is in, because he's also going through that, and Neil's also going through that because he's being faced with his father and also with his past. So there's kind of some healing taking part there. And we also in the flashback see that Peter Pan is introduced as a Pied Piper because Rumpel goes and follows Bay, and he comes in an empty city. And then they tell, there was this weird music and the children followed it and they are gone. And I bet your son is with them too. So he sits on the rooftop and waits for the Pied Piper to abduct more children and follows him. And then it's a very kind of important insight for me, is that at one point Pan is saying, let's play a game. Here's Bay, and just ask him if he wants to come with you. and if he doesn't want to come, he stays with me. And if he wants to come with you, I let him go. And instead of just asking Bay, he just seizes Bay with magic, and they land home. And Bay is really mad because had you just asked, I would have come with you.
Right.
And then he runs off.
Take that.
And then he runs off. So he's losing him anyway.
Yeah. And Rumpel couldn't take that chance. He couldn't trust him. And that comes down to their breakdown of their relationship, that Rumpel can't trust, I mean, Bay can't trust Rumpel for obvious reasons. He was going to go through the portal with him. He didn't. But But Rumpel can't trust anybody else. He can only count on himself, and he wants to control everything else to go his way. So that was a...
It's interesting to see Pan be quite such a manipulator. He's really thought ahead and laid out all the pieces. And my mind keeps going back to the town of Hamelin, and I'll come back to that. But he's got all the pieces exactly where he is. And case in point, he's been looking for this boy. They've had his picture for how long? Oh, all these things going through my head. Is Pan a seer? Is Pan have the same powers that Rumpel has as a seer? Why isn't Rumpel using those powers as a seer to work through this? Why is that blocked? Did he really let Bay go, or is he fudging it over that, yeah, you escaped, but I'm not going to admit it, that you figured a way out? Or is he going to let Bay believe, or Neil believe, yes, you're exactly where I want you. Look, where are you? You're right back here. Well, I had to let you go, give you permission to go in order so you could go create Henry, and I knew you'd be right back here. And Neil looked very concerned, because...
Well, what we discovered, Pand is excellent at mind games.
Yes.
Yes.
Did he really? Did he not? And it doesn't really matter, because it's all about what Pan can get them to believe, or, you know, divide and conquer, get them to question themselves, buy into it. And he did the same thing with Henry. It's getting them to question what they believe to be true and getting caught up in what he tells them is true. And I think that's part of what the island is about. I mean, they all said it's about imagination and stuff, but it's about right now. It seems to be about Pan's imagination. And if Pan can get everybody else to feed into what he wants, what his imagination can do, he robs them of theirs. You know, they just distrust themselves. They distrust each other.
They're losing their faith. And they're not believing in one another. And that's, and Inga, I think you're right also about the poison affecting David Charming, because mm-hmm. of that line where they're walking in hooks, kind of ribbing him. Hey, you know, you got to tell them. They got to be able to prepare. They got to deal with it. And he says, what's the point in telling them if there's not any hope? He's like, look, mate, you know, if there's one thing I've learned about you hero types, is that there's always hope.
But I also like the other reason David gives for not revealing that he's dying, is because he wants to keep them focused on saving Henry, not him.
Right. Yeah, I liked that too. I liked that he had a reason rather than just like, oh, I'm not, you know. But I did like that with Hook. I mean, because that's what I said last week, is they always, I mean, don't they realize that something always happens and true love prevails and there's a, you know, way to break a curse? There's always a way out for them, right? I mean, always. Mm-hmm. It's a TV show and it's true love and fairy tale and all that. So the fact that David is all like, oh, woe is me, I'm dying. Oops. You know, and then Hook is just like,
you can't just kiss him?
Well, I just loved it. Hook is the one that has to go, seriously, really? Like, have you met yourselves? Come on, you sickening hero people. Don't you realize? And I loved that. You know, that just all, really?
Yeah, talking about a group, they have a real problem now because Tinkerbell went off. Because Tinkerbell wants to know what the exit plan is.
You do have an escape plan, don't you?
It was more of a last minute trip.
If you don't have a way off this island, then none of this matters.
We'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out? No one comes and goes from this place unless he allows it. This is a waste of time.
When it comes to family, we always find a way.
You don't get it. Here, let me show you something. You know what this is?
Yeah, a watch.
I got it from the people who brought your son here for Pan.
Greg and Tamara, where are they? Why'd they give you that?
I got it off the girl's body. I spent half the night cleaning the blood off it. And the other guy, well, there wasn't enough left of him to find anything useful. This is what Pan does to people he employs. What do you think he's going to do to you? I'm not sticking my neck on Pan's chopping block without a way off this island. Do you figure that out? You know where I live.
But did you catch the look on Regina's face when she showed them the watch? And they were, Greg and Tamara? Well, I took the watch off the girl's body, spent a day cleaning the blood off of it. And then, you know, there wasn't enough of the man to... And Regina smiles, this like satisfied, like good, he got his.
Yeah.
Kind of smile. It was a very quick moment, but it was, woo.
So when he's dead, good.
Yeah, I got that taken care of. Move on to the next one now. Yeah, that I'd forgotten about that.
But they... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They did stress several times. No one comes on or off this island without Pan's permission. If you don't have a way off this island, listen, I'm not putting myself out there.
Well, and we did question it last week, remember? Because we said, well, Hook left. We said Rumpel evidently left or something, which now we know he wasn't necessarily there, but he had an issue. And then Neil left. And so that's the thing. And then Hook's like, well, I left with Pan's permission. So the only person that left on his own was Neil. And then for Pan then to go like, I let you leave. So we still don't know what the truth is. We would assume that Neil has, my assumption, Neil has some power, and whether, but I think Pan's true power lies in his mind games, you know, his making everyone else submit to him. Mm-hmm. So the other question is, did Henry really fall under Pan's spell or not?
I did not like that.
If Henry is I don't know if he's the savior, his mom's the savior, whatever. But, you know, Henry's the one who saw the curse, who knew deep in his heart, and he stayed true to it, even in the amongst of all the other stuff. I mean, Henry's the one who's been the true believer. So for him to fall in, what, 3 episodes? Maybe 4? It seemed a little fast for me.
We skipped over a kind of a major feature in the episode, and that's when Rumpel and Neil are going fishing. He asks Rumpel to extract the ink, and he wants to know if Rumpel knows how to do it. And then Rumpel's like, yeah, I've got experience with that ink, you know, and from the time in the Enchanted Forest. So
yeah, and I didn't remember that exact, and Shelley reminded me this morning that
season 1 episode 3 or 4 is the Cinderella episode where they had him sign the contract using squid ink, and it immobilized him long enough for them to put him in the magic jail under the mines, the dwarves' mines.
Yeah, and I didn't remember. I didn't remember that's what I, you know, I just figured, oh, haha, he's used it, but I didn't remember that specific thing.
Yeah, because what Rumpel's like, from let's dash off and let's get Henry, and and only one way to get that is to sacrifice yourself. And then Neil says, well, no, I know of a way that you don't have to do that, so they get the squid. And then, so he uses an arrow to put ink on it, and I love what happens next. So he fires the arrow at Pan, and Pan's like, "Van, don't you learn? Because you tried this before." And then Neil says, "Yeah, I know, because that's why I didn't cover the tip with it." And then
That was a good moment. I liked
that. Was
that.
A great
moment. At first, I was like, "Oh darn," you know, and then it was like, "Oh yeah." You're learning that just I hate to say, Neil comes across so just chill and relaxed.
This is
just
no turf.
Kind of like,
Neil sounds like he has a plan.
Neil is on his home turf. That's a big advantage.
Yeah, but I just mean his character has always been kind of like, you know, well, we're good, you know. And what we're learning is there's so much under his surface. You know, I mean, he grew up, but he's been through so much, and he's really thinking through all of this. And I like that. I like that he knew. I mean, he wasn't naive and thinking, oh, I'm going to get him like I did the first time. No, he knew. And I
like
that.
Consider this. Neil spent more time as a lost boy in Neverland than he did on either other places of his life. He was 14 in the Enchanted Forest, growing up with his father. Then he went to London, and then a month or two later, he goes off to Neverland to save the darlings. He's in Neverland until the curse is enacted.
Well, no, we don't.
Roughly. We don't know exactly. Unless he went back and forth, because
we don't know where he went.
Well, he went to Earth, because he's only a few years older than Emma.
True. So, true, I guess, because when he left Neverland, he would have started aging.
Yeah. Right. So he spent probably, what was it, 28 years, give or take, you know, we don't know, again, we don't know when he landed back in New York, or our time, but he spent a certain amount of years there, and a certain amount of years in the Enchanted Forest, and the bulk of the rest of it is in Neverland. Yeah. And he stayed with Hook for a time, but then here's a question, when Hook left, why didn't he take Neil? I mean, he didn't take Neil with him, so apparently he didn't get permission to leave the second time with Neil, with Bay. And I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see where it goes. So, you mentioned that about the getting the squid ink. I'm sorry. Let me go back. Neil, when he escapes from Felix in the beginning, they were talking about I'm not a boy anymore, and I sure as heck ain't last. He says, I may be all grown up, but I still know how to untie an overhand knot. And I love that. It was like, look, I'm coming back. I know all about you people. I know how to defeat you. But he's also very, very wary of killing any of the Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. Because I guess he identifies with them. He knows them all very, very well.
You know, I didn't think about that. He usually is the first one to rip out a heart and you know what. But he didn't, did he?
Oh, Neil, not Rumple.
Yeah, no. Neil.
Well, I just meant Rumple didn't kill them. But Rumple didn't kill him either. He just knocked him out.
Because I guess he identifies with them. He knows they're being held against their will. He knows what kind of control or power Pan has over them. I mean, he even said, Pan is too powerful. You can only beat him if you're willing to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I also liked is once they get Henry, Pan spills all the beans about the seer and the prophecy, and Neil doesn't know anything about it. So that's a kind of faithful. Because when they go back and then they start to argue, so what did he mean? And then Rumple is kind of forced to tell that Henry will be his undoing. And Pan has yelled at him, well, he doesn't want to save him. He wants to kill him. And how are you going to save your son from the Dark One? And that's when he also immobilizes his father with the ink.
Very, the trust issue comes back.
Yeah.
And Pan again is playing. I mean, maybe Neil coming back to Neverland is not going to be the best thing for Henry. Because when Rumple thinks that Neil is dead, he's very firm in his resolve. He is prepared to die. He is going to redeem himself. He is going to save Henry because he couldn't save Bay. And when Neil bursts through the jungle, he thinks he's another image. And he says, you're here to remind me of my failure. You know, to reunite with my son. You're here to question my resolve, but I will sacrifice my life to save Henry, and nothing will stand in the way. It's like, well, what did you mean? Is that all, you know, was that just a show? Was that for real? What was that for?
Here's another interesting one on the prophecy. So we keep, you know, remember how we talked, was it last week, that the seer, you know, they give you just enough to interpret the prophecy any way you want. And Rumple has assumed that Henry is the boy. Remember it said the boy will be your undoing. Rumple has assumed that the boy is Henry, right?
Yep. Yes.
What if the boy is Pan?
It could be.
I mean,
Pan led him to reunite with...
Well, I just mean Pan's a boy. And, you know, he says he's a great foe. And also, we don't know what undoing means. Does undoing mean death? Or does it mean not being the Dark One? You know? I mean, there's so many interpretations. But it just dawned on me that when they say the boy, we've suddenly got another boy in this picture. And isn't that actor doing a great job?
Oh, yeah, my gosh. But my girls do not stop gushing over him during every single scene. Oh, Robbie K. Oh, look how cute. Oh, pause it. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, look at his ears. Oh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you talked about a seer, but the seer also said that boy would bring Bay to him.
Mm-hmm.
So how did Peter Ben bring Bay to reunite Rumple with Bay? How did Peter Pan play into that? If Peter Pan is the boy.
But it could be that maybe fighting this duel over Henry and Peter Pan brings Bay and Rump. It might not be physically back to him. It might be in a relationship, like actually father-son relationship.
Emotionally rebuild their trust.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be literal where, you know, you physically get to see him again because that relationship isn't going so well.
Mm-hmm. Did he say he would bring Bay? He specifically said your son, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back to you. Well, physically he was back, but he didn't want to see or have anything to do with his father. So I don't know. It's just another possibility to me that maybe the boy at the center of this is Pan.
Yeah, and they do. They have so many trust issues that.
Well, and maybe
that
he
makes
has
a
to
lot
stop.
Of sense.
And maybe he has to stop being the Dark One to get his son back, truly back.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's why Bay wants Rumple to follow him into the world without magic, mm-hmm. because then he would not be the Dark One anymore. That's the whole point of it, right?
That's what Neil wants. Yeah, he wants his father. He doesn't want the Dark One. He wants his father.
He also asks for the dagger.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he does.
What do I have to do to regain your trust? And he says, give me your Dark One dagger. It's the only thing that can control you. It's the only thing that can stop you. And he's like, well, I don't have it. Yeah, you got an answer for everything. Well, what happens when we get Henry back and you're reunited and the only thing standing between you and your new happy ending is my son and suddenly your undoing doesn't sound so hot?
Yeah, but in Neil's defense, come on. I don't know where my dagger is. My shadow hid it from me.
And you can't call your shadow back? How are you gonna take the dagger back when you do leave Neverland?
He's always got a plan.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound too convincing, right? So yeah. I cannot blame Neil for not believing him. Because
if you don't leave your shadow a dagger and then you don't have any way of getting it back. He could have gotten it back and given it to... But he can't. He doesn't trust him.
But maybe
he could lose the dagger. He could let Pam have the dagger. Pam could get the dagger.
Well, it's just that Rumpel doesn't trust. Bigger fear. He doesn't trust anybody, even his son. He doesn't trust anybody at all, period.
No, and when he was ripping off his own shadow and hit his dagger, he was still in full, I'm going to die to save Henry mode. So then he wouldn't need his dagger because he was going to die anyway. So that makes sense.
Wait, can he be killed? Without his dagger, can he be killed?
Apparently, that's the whole idea of with Pan. Pan says he's too powerful. You can only defeat him if you're willing to die, and I'm willing to die.
He's willing to die, but again, okay, that brings up something else I saw. But again, when he became the Dark One, he couldn't have killed the old man. He had to have the dagger. So if you hold the dagger, you control the Dark One. If you stab the Dark One, you kill him and you take his power. Can he die? How many times has he been shot and stabbed and
well, he almost died from Hook's poison.
But he wasn't the Dark One. He was in a land without magic. He did not have his magic then. He had left Storybrooke, and they did not have magic when they left Storybrooke.
But
they only had it in Storybrooke.
But back in Storybrooke, he could not undo the poison. And
so maybe that was the poison from Neverland, wasn't it? That is the theme shift.
Yeah.
Well, there. Okay. There's a scene at the end. There's a scene at the end where Felix is tossing something that looks like a dagger. It's right at the very, very end. And Felix is like flipping it. You know, like you would flip a knife, you know, from end to end.
I noticed that too.
On the point. And I paused it and I couldn't tell. And my girls were like, Mom, quit pausing it. But it looked like Rumpel's dagger.
I thought this. I didn't pause it or anything, but I did think the same thing too. It's just a knife. I mean, they're lost boys, but I don't know.
They don't have knives. They have clubs and they have spears.
What kind of primitive weapons? Yeah. That's interesting. I missed that.
Yes. And Pan looked at it. Pan looked down at Felix and what he had, but they didn't linger on it. They didn't show it. You weren't meant to see it. It was just a prop. They were tossing it, but it glinted like, and it was shaped the same length as the dagger.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
And I'd be really disappointed if they just grabbed the dagger as a prop so he would have something to flip and we weren't supposed to.
Wow.
They don't do that without knowing everything that's in the scene. Did you catch the drawings on the cave?
Yeah, I just wanted to go to there. Just the Neil's cave.
Mm-hmm.
So the drawings, did you pause on that? And so what kind of drawings were that, though? Because I was in Hulu, I couldn't really pause it really easy.
I saw the Darling family. That's I couldn't pause it because my daughters were mad at me. But the five people, those were John, Michael, Wendy, and the mother and father Darling. That's who the five were. So he clearly had identified with that family in the short time he was with them. And then I saw a P and then an odd symbol. It looked like an O with a line through it or an arrow, and then an S. And I'm sure that means something, but again, I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. Did anybody else see anything?
Mm-mm.
No, but we had this leaky leaky cup, and then Emma discovers it's kind of a map.
Oh, the coconut.
And so I was like, oh, this is totally like Battlestar Galactica when they look at the sky to find the same constellations.
Exact same thing. That's so funny.
That's just my inner fangirl for Battlestar Galactica showing, I think. But
I didn't think of that, but that's, and I watched Battlestar Galactica. But yeah, that was this is kind of my only hesitation about this episode is that I loved the Rumpel, Pan, Neil. I mean, I loved that. But it we didn't have a whole lot going on with, what do you call them? The Justice League?
Is that yeah.
What you call them? the band of heroes. We didn't have a lot for them to do.
Walking through the forest. Oh, let's.
Yeah.
Then and at one point, there's one dashing off. You know where I live. If you figure things out, call me or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Hook is like, oh, I know where Neil lived. Let's find his cave. I was like, why didn't you go there to begin with, you know? And then there's all this bromance with Charming. It's kind of, why suddenly is Hook so nice to Charming, to David? It's kind of suspicious because they didn't want to have to do anything with each other before. And then they're in the cave.
And that's what I figured. It was that whole male bonding thing that, you know, they're the ones there. And
yeah, there are only two males there.
I liked it because, and I guess part of it is what do you call that? Just a way that they do something on the show to give Charming someone to talk to. Because who else is he going to talk to? He can't tell. I mean, you know, to tell his secret, you know, his dying secret. Because he can't tell Emma, and he can't tell, because she'll tell Snow. Can't tell Snow because then it's, oh, woe is you. And then who's really going to talk to Regina? So Hook's it. But I like it because Hook has been one of those characters from the beginning that we've said, and we don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. He doesn't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I mean, he's kind of, you know, in the middle and nebulous, you know, as to where his true, I mean, his loyalty has always lied as to where, whatever's going to work out for him.
Well, and they haven't really made him pure evil or
no.
Not. They've always kept him in the middle there. And without going into any spoiler territory, I am encouraged that the next episode appears to be his backstory.
Yeah, yeah. That we saw a preview for him, and I agree.
Yeah.
So I noticed, was it Peter Pan had eyeliner on too? So now we got, what is it? Everyone from Neverland has to wear eyeliner. Did you notice that?
Peter Pan had on eyeliner. I did not catch that at all.
Yeah. Let's wait talking about that until we finished our analysis, because otherwise people are yelling no with their fingers in their ears. So the last part of the episode. So only Neil can read that map. So the star map, apparently, and Neil's gone. So then Emma dashes out and is called all like, when I'm mad at him, and then the whole thing with that her working through her emotions. And I really really liked her Snow's reaction. My job as a mother is to comfort him, or what did she say to help her?
I have no idea how to comfort my own daughter. It's the thing I should learn. I should have known from the very. It's the thing every mother knows, and I don't have any idea.
Yeah, yeah. And then she tells Charming, I wouldn't be able to go on without you. And then Charming is like, oh shoot.
Oh yeah, you would. You're fine.
I don't want you. You have to. You must. Something happened to me. I mean, with everything, all the dangers around here, you know, I'd want you to move on, to be happy. Oh, no, nothing's going to happen to you. Not while I'm here. She's so confident. She's like, yeah, nothing's going to happen to you. I got you. I'll protect you.
So, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So, and then we cut back to the dancing.
The next scene was actually when Pan confronted Neil.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I
thought I taught you better. Never break in somewhere unless you know the way out. Back to that exit strategy. And Emma had said it earlier. Oh, no, they're right. You know, you never break in unless you have a way out. And it's like, well, who taught you that? Bail bonds thing? Actually, Neil. Well, Neil learned it from Pan.
Yes.
And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that Rumpel knows it too. Your father could have protected you, but then, who would protect? I mean, yeah, and Lisa's right. There are mind games so at play right here.
Yeah.
It's just... And then he gets mad. Just take him away. We don't know where he is. It's just until I reset the board, the game's about to change. You're like, now
yeah,
what?
Yeah, what does it mean? What does it mean?
To rechange the board?
No, so what does it mean that he changed the game? So what's the game was now Find Henry for the group?
You know what? Maybe that means he does have the dagger. I don't know. Because maybe, think about it. If he has the dagger, he controls Rumpel. He could make Rumpel do things like kill his friends.
Yeah, or kill
that
Henry.
That would definitely be a reset, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it's back to square one anyway, because Henry's still caught by Pan. Neil is caught by Pan too. Rumpel has lost his son again because of everything that happened. And our Justice League is stuck in Neil's old cave with no clue what to do next. David is still dying.
Well, okay, so the only place for this to go.
Sounds so depressing. No.
The only place for this to go is for somebody in the Justice League to finally get a clue. You
know, yeah, who's that going to be? Yeah, I don't
know. You know what? Right now,
I think they're going to have to find Neil.
Yeah, but he's with Henry.
Oh, they took Neil away. I don't know. They're going to do that.
So they cannot find.
Walking around in a big circle, not knowing what to do, and Pan's just playing games with them. I mean, they've got with the map, and the thing keeps moving. That's where they were. You know, they have Pan's map. He's just playing.
Maybe Tinkerbell will come back with news that he's doing something to this other person, to Neil. You know, which I'm assuming Tinkerbell knows him, and. Maybe, or Balefire, whatever, and maybe that'll spur them. You know, maybe she'll have had feelings for Balefire and be like, "Come help my friend," and they're like, "Wait, we know him too." And I don't know.
You know, I want to go back to the Pied Piper real quick before we get into the final scene there.
You had something about Hamelin.
I know you're hiding him from me.
No, we're not. Many of our children went missing last night. Lured from their beds by some unholy music.
What kind of music?
From a pipe. Only the children could hear it. Some of them tried telling their parents, but no one believed them. They were sent back to bed. And this morning, they were gone.
And who was playing it?
No one saw his face, only a figure hidden by a pied cloak of multicolored patches. Leading the children from their homes and into the forest. Don't you see? It has to be the same man that has taken your son.
Then whoever this Pied Piper is, he's about to play his last note.
Okay, so Bay is gone and he confronts the townspeople and he says he tracked him to this, you know, townspeople of Hamelin. I've tracked him to this rat hole of a town. And that was, to me, that was really funny because the original Pied Piper, you know, was brought into the town by the people of Hamelin to rid them of rats.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when they didn't pay him, that's when he took their children. So they twisted the story, but I loved the nod to the original fairy tale, the original story.
Is the Pied Piper a very, very well-known fairy tale in the United States?
That was the question For our generation, definitely. I mean, I knew instantly. But my kids did not know what it was. Not at all. And I had to sit there and pause it and explain to them the story of the Pied Piper. And I thought, why do I know it? They don't know it. And part of me thinks that our kids don't know. Like, my kids didn't know Peter Pan either. I had to go show them the movie. I think that maybe today's kids, we just don't watch as many. We don't have the fairy tales as much as we used to. So I don't know. I mean, but like Shelley and I, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a very widespread story.
Us here in Europe, too, because I grew up with a Grimm story. We had this thick fairy tale book, and my mother would read them to us before we go to bed. So also many other fairy tales. But maybe with the advent of television, you just showed them Disney cartoons, and that's what they...
Yeah, there's so much else out there now. I mean, on TV and stuff they probably all know Dora the Explorer, but they can't tell you who, you know, the Pied Piper is. So, unless, you know, because Disney brought back Tinkerbell, so now they know who Tinkerbell is, but they didn't know her from Peter Pan. They just knew her from her movies. So it is different when you think about the ages, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if the Pied Piper original story came out of the Dark Ages, the Black Death, you know.
Yeah, 13th century, that's correct, yeah.
Okay, because the rats they didn't know, but it was the fleas on the rats that spread the Black Plague, and so they'd had to get rid of the rats in order to, and so many people died, especially children, from the plague, that it's kind of it was interesting to me that the tune, then he plays that song that there's only certain boys that can hear it. The music can only be heard by boys who feel unloved, boys who feel lost. Well, so I liked that Henry couldn't hear it in the beginning. I thought that was brilliant. And when he couldn't hear him, Pan actually looked a little confused, like, I wasn't expecting you not to be able to hear that.
I'd like to play a song. A song for our guest of honor, Henry. Now, can't you, Henry?
Yeah!
Why? I think I know what's going on. So, first, Henry doesn't hear the pan flute. And that's because he doesn't really feel lost, because he's... I think he really hopes that his father's not really dead. Or...
Yeah.
That his mother's
that
coming from
coming
him.
For him.
Yeah, so he's not...
Believes it.
He still believes that there's a miracle happening. And so, and what Pan does by talking to him is take that miracle, take that belief away, take the faith away. And when he's lost, so he lost it, he feels lost. And because he feels lost, he hears the flute. That's what I think.
I have a question. Did Henry see his dad get shot?
No.
How would he know his dad is dead?
Because Emma had to tell him right
okay.
after it
I couldn't
happened.
Remember. I'm sorry.
So he was sitting
could
at.
Not remember.
As he was sitting at I think that was also when Snow and Charming told Rumple that he was dead, and then you know that's the scene where Rumple was kind of imagining that he would burn the knots of the ropes of on the swing Henry was sitting at, and then Emma walks to Henry, telling him that Neil died. That's the scene
okay.
where he knows.
That's what I couldn't remember. Thank you very much. Okay.
So.
Well, my daughter said the same thing. It was because Pan reminded him, you know, it makes sense to dream of the things we've lost, to dream of the things we hope for. Like, you want your father to be alive, and you hope that your mother will come find you. But eventually you'll find new things to dream about. So it's like he's letting go of the past.
Yeah.
And he's looking to the future. So he's lost in that he's made some sort of a severed of the connection. Eventually you'll find new things to dream about. And when you do, they'll start to come true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Pan needs. Because he says, that's what I did, and now you're here.
Yeah.
Neverland used to be a place where new things were born. You bring that back, and we can be your family.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That was a... When I look back, actually, when I look back over what I wrote there, and I think about that scene, it makes more sense now than it did in the very, you know, fast 20, 30 seconds that it went by on the screen.
Yeah, very powerful to see Henry... dancing. So, and I think the question now is not really will they be able to save Henry, but instead does Henry want to be saved?
Yeah, it's a double thing now. Okay, since
well, wasn't
since
it Tink?
Roderick,
Tink who said he'd already been Henry had already been with
been
Pan
there
too
long. Yeah,
he's not. He's going to be a lost boy now. You're not going to be able to get him back. So again, though, goes back to you're exactly right, because he told Rumple all you have to do is ask him. I have to just ask him, does he want to go with you or not?
Yeah. But
what if they finally
again,
get to Henry
those...
and he doesn't want to go?
But he's given up hope. And if he sees that his parents did come for him, there's always the question of, you know. Now, since Father Roderick is not here, I have to make a comment because one that he always makes. How bad was the CGI when they were in that little town?
Oh, that was
seriously.
Bad.
And here
I
was.
And I don't notice those things very often.
I noticed it immediately.
Oh,
Me too. And I was like, oh, Father Rodrigo will not be on the episode, so we will have a CGI complaint-free episode. But alas.
I just thought of that, because when I saw it, I went, oh, he's going to say it.
Was there a Star Wars reference somewhere in there? Oh, yeah, they're going to come for the boy, the father and the son reunited.
Mm-hmm. The sorcerer and the apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There can be only one.
Yeah.
No, there's always two. There's always a sorcerer and apprentice.
Yeah. So, if you don't want to be spoiled, so we will move into spoiler territory now. We want to thank you for listening, and you can always leave feedback on our site, onceuponatime.sqpn.com, and you can click on the tab to leave voice feedback, and we always love to hear your voices. So if you don't want to stick with our promo, I want to wish you all very well, have a nice week, and take care. So for those who remained with us, so we will play this week's promo and next week's promo, and the episode is called Good Form.
You need a hand, love?
Is that a joke?
ABC next Sunday, take to the skies and uncover the true origin of the world's most charming swashbuckler.
To Huck.
As the battle for Neverland rages on.
Are you trying to start a war with Pan?
Pan started the war when he kidnapped my son.
And prepare for a shocking hookup.
Stay away from my daughter.
Once Upon a Time. All new next Sunday at 8, 7 central on ABC. And check out concept art from Neverland at ABC.
So when I saw the title of the next episode, remember how Pan said that breaking the rules was bad form. So what's good form? That's my first question. After seeing the promo.
Well, and the promo gave us a clip of Hook, and it looked like he was in it almost looked like he was in like a British Navy uniform.
Yeah.
And it did show him, so he wasn't always a pirate. And so that made me think of Han Solo, because Han Solo was an Imperial, or was a military member in the military academy before he became a rogue smuggler. But I think that's going to be really interesting, because it does show that he's been in Neverland before. And that ties in, because when he did get the bean and Smee says, well, the Dark One is immortal. He goes, well, I guess we'll just have to go to a place where we won't age, we won't die. We can't be immortal, but we won't die, and you know, until we can come back and figure out a way to best him. Where's that? Neverland. Was the little...
Yeah. It also looked like the ship was flying, or was it just me?
It did. I thought the same thing. It looked like the ship was flying through the air, and I thought, did they do that before? You know,
it's like it's almost like the how did it the bike with E.T. on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the Disney version of Peter Pan, the ship does fly.
Oh.
Through the clouds. So that well, made that Peter that's exactly Pan what it reminded it me of.
Peter Pan has the ship at the end of the movie, the cartoon.
Yeah.
So, but I was wondering, so does the fact that the ship seems to be flying mean that they figured out a map? Because it was in the sky?
I don't know. Or it could be a flashback of some sort. I don't know. That was an interesting one.
And of course, the big shocker, the hookup.
Yeah.
That didn't look like an I love
hook,
you kiss.
The hook
that,
and Emma hookup. Yeah.
That
of course, my girls.
Like
my girls
kiss.
Were so sweet. My girls were like, but she's supposed to be with Neil, you know. And I said, well, we'll see. So
and
that was a
don't stay away from my daughter. Charming says.
Yeah, right. He gets to you know be the dad there.
Yeah, so. If you missed puberty, you can always do it again. You know.
So it'll there's not much online about that episode, and we'll find out what happens. But the episode after that is Ariel, so we're getting close.
Ooh.
To getting to meet Ariel, and I know Deborah will be really excited about that.
Yeah, and I still kind of hope that Ariel will also be in Storybrooke, and she will be of the fish shop.
The clip they aired this summer was of Grumpy with Ariel. Remember? So unless that was just easy for them to do because they already had the set, I don't know. But they did put, unless Ariel's in Neverland and she's with the other. Remember, we've already seen mermaids in Neverland. So my guess is that she's going to be like the good one amongst all the bad ones. I don't know. We'll find out.
To me, the promo showed in the summer was just made just for to be a promo. It's not an actual footage of the series. At least that's what I thought.
I do have one minor spoiler that I know for next week.
Yeah, we are spoiler territory, so that's fine.
Okay, well, it is that you saw this, the brief clip you saw of Hook standing on the ship. He had somebody else with him, and they're going to introduce us to Killian Jones's brother, Captain Liam.
Nice. Hmm. Does he has tentacles as his beard or not?
No, I don't know. I don't remember seeing tentacles or anything like that in the preview. I didn't see any sneak photos or anything like that. You know, sometimes they'll release photos. You know.
Well, that's interesting. So, and I think we arrived at the end of our episode. Thank you so much, Shelley and Lisa, to join us. So, where can people find you online?
Oh, well, we have a blog on
we both talk
www.soundmindandspirit.com.
And people can always find us, of course, at sqpn.com. If you are interested in us, you can also go to sqpn.com/shows if you want to see our other shows. And we have our dedicated page on onceuponatime.sqpn.com. And we hope you liked this episode, and I hope you to see you again next week. Take care. God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.